And on that note, hello, I want to welcome everybody to the world, according to Ben Stein, who always allows a clean intro. Welcome everybody in the chat. Welcome. Welcome everybody. It is good to see you guys tonight. It's good to see everybody tonight. I want to thank everybody that's been downloading the podcast. It means the world to us. So thank you. Please keep doing it anywhere podcasts are downloadable. And of course, don't forget to subscribe to Ben's email, benstein.substack.com. We are joined tonight by a complex yet not simple man who runs the simplelifenow.com, founder Gary Collins.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Good to see you. And I got to say, Gary is excited to be here because Gary is now constantly saying, I want to be on more. That's how much he loves Ben Stein. And of course, the president of Conservative Talk Radio from 93.1, WIBC, bam, Rob Kendall.
Gary, are you not on your boat tonight?
I am in the RV in Arizona.
Oh. Ah, very nice, very nice, very nice, very nice.
That's
very nice.
That's, and of course, this show wouldn't be complete without actor, writer, provocateur, saint, sinner, lover, mathematician, statistician, mathematician, lawyer, economist, but of course, most important, Dr. Benjamin Jeremy Stein.
Actor, game show host, expert witness in complex securities cases, father, son, brother, and leader of the free world.
Leader of the pack. You are the leader of the pack.
The pack down.
Yes. So right off the boat, right away, I want to get to something that it's just a word. Sometimes a word, it really gets to you. And the word that gets to me is chaos. And I just looked up the exact definition of chaos and complete disorder and confusion. I am not speaking about Joe Biden's brain. I am talking about this country right now. Ben Stein, as far as the CDC, came out with new guidelines today. Everywhere we're getting mixed messages. Nobody knows what the heck to do. I brought up to you before the show, there's 38,000 people supposedly hospitalized from this batch of COVID.
What's this new strain?
Just in COVID. They're not mentioning, they're not separating the strains.
Oh, well, wait a second, Mr. Judah Friedman. I thought at one point there were millions hospitalized.
Yes, and there were what? Sorry?
I thought at one point there were millions hospitalized.
I don't know if the number ever reached millions.
Well, it was certainly hundreds of thousands.
Yes.
And so if we're at 38,000, we have made phenomenal progress.
Phenomenal. It was 82% high. We were at 82. It was 82% high. Or then it was about 56. It was quite a few more at the height, obviously. quite a few more.
Yes, but we're doing great.
My point being is also nobody brings up, and I know Gary's going to get to it, but I want to get to you first. 200,000 people a year are hospitalized with influenza, with the flu.
But you're
yes.
Your humble servant, this old man with these hands, sat at a desk a few feet away from here when COVID began and ran through the statistics of what numbers of people are hospitalized and died from various different kinds of flus and viruses every year, and came up with some amazing data about how COVID did not seem to be any worse and in many ways was less bad than the standard flu that's running through the society all the time. I wrote these for the American Spectator, God loves their souls. I wrote these, I did this for, Twitter. I did these for, I'm sorry, I'm losing my mind. I just got off an airplane flight. It was a very, very confusing flight. I wrote a lot about these for Newsmax. We love Newsmax. People ignored me, even though I'm the only person known to have undone conjoined triplets with his bare hands. But no, seriously, they ignored me. And yet now this seems to be true. We went crazy and turned the country into a dictatorship over what may have been much less severe than we were told.
You're completely right. And I just want to tell a quick, funny anecdotal data story. I was at Target the other night.
Anecdotal data.
And I was at Target the other night.
I'm allowed to do that.
I was at Target the other night and I noticed the shelves about 30% of the produce from the store was gone. Sodas that I like, a lot of things. So I said, I'll just go to Ralph's. I went from Ralph's to Target, and I get
is
to
Ralph
Ralph's.
One of your buddies?
Sorry,
is Ralph one
Ralph's,
of your buddies?
Yeah,
Ralph's.
Yeah, I wish.
A huge chain of grocery stores here.
I do have a buddy named Ralphie, but I'm not referring to. I wasn't
Ralph
shopping.
Bamden. Ralph Bamden. Ralph Bamden.
Yes, Bamden. And I'm there, and I swear to this happened. I'm sitting by the soda, and the guy goes, "God, the shelves are bare next to me." And I said, I was just at Ralph's, and he said, "Damn," he said a different word, but he said, "Damn, I was about to go over there." And he's like, he screams out loud, "Toilet paper." And he runs over to the toilet paper section at Target because it's in LA County, it started looking like it's getting bare again. And then I was on the phone with Gary as I got to a burger joint and they were out of French fries. And Gary Collins,
I'm seeing this happen in Sandpoint too. Yeah. Oh, no, sorry.
Oh, in Sandpoint too, Ben?
In Sandpoint, you can't get bottled water. It's amazing. Bottled water. We cannot get bottled water.
It's
but why? Why would
here,
that be?
I just jinxed myself. But did you notice if there was plenty of grass-fed steak, free-range chicken, and vegetables, though?
I did not notice that. But I did.
I like that.
I did. I mean, why would there be a shortage of bottled water?
You're asking because of these stupid CDC mask mandates that we're about to, the country's about to face again, people are stocking up.
And on it was water. But wait a minute. Water. I mean, there's plenty of
yes,
water.
Yes, Ben. No, during the initial COVID, it was really difficult to find a lot of different brands of water at the store.
Why should it be?
It's just one of those.
That's a restatement of the question.
No, because people feel like it's like an earth. They're building themselves a big earthquake kit.
You're just restating the question.
No, I'm not. It's people are buying. I'm not restating the question at all, Gary. Yes, people are. I'll let you answer it, Gary.
Well, it's people panic and they think there's going to be mass shortages, and they create the shortages by hoarding.
But why would there be a shortage of water? I mean, there's tons of, all you have to do is turn on your faucet.
People don't know that you could. They don't know about water. They think it comes in bottles. They don't understand that it comes out of.
I have an army of people who work for me, an army, and I said to one of them, two of them, I was like, "Would you try putting a glass under the faucet and turning on the cold water? Try that." That hadn't occurred to anyone.
But Gary, let's get back to it with this flu thing, because you're the one that messaged me about the CDC testing or the FDA not giving approval.
Oh, the PCR test. Yeah, the PCR test.
What is the PCR test, please, sir?
Oh, gosh. I don't know the wording for the acronym what is it? I don't remember it. But it was a test, I believe, if I remember correctly, was devised for the detection of HIV, right?
Wow.
Was that it?
Testing
for COVID, it is not designed for that at all. Zero. There's no reliability, never designed for that. And the guy who created it says it doesn't work. Don't use it that way.
Wow.
And
they silenced
him immediately when they started using it. It's crazy.
Wow.
Man. And what people
very
need to
scary,
realize,
very scary.
And me and Judah talked about this, is that you have to realize that the CDC is not a legislative branch. They're not a law enforcement branch. They have no authority to tell you to do anything. They
right.
can recommend, and you can go tell them to pound sand. I don't need to listen to you.
Right.
Period.
Excellent. So let's back up.
And by the way, just so you know, it's a polymerase chain reaction. That's what it actually stands for.
At the tip of my tongue. How could I forget?
That's exactly what it stands for. And Rob's been a little silent, so if you don't mind, could we get to Rob on this and then back to you, Ben?
Give you a shot.
Well, we talked about this today on the air. I think it's blatantly clear that we're getting ready to enter another election season. And the Democrats were highly successful utilizing the shutdown and fear of the country. What are we allowed to say? To be victorious in the 2020 elections. And so because they were able to be victorious using various forms of means that some people objected to, they have now decided why wouldn't we do it again? Because what are they going to run on? There's nothing good going on in this country right now.
Wait a minute. That's not true. We have very, very high prosperity. Prosperity levels are fantastic. Unemployment is virtually voluntary. Unemployment is virtually involuntary, rather, is virtually nil. So they have plenty to run on. But that's not what they want. Control. They want control. And for control, as my good friend Gary just said, they need fear. Fear is what they're selling. That's the difference between Republicans and Democrats. Republicans sell opportunity. Democrats sell fear.
And so getting back to Rob's point of what he just said, they don't know how to sell opportunity. So the points that you brought up with people, some people having more prosperity and the unemployment numbers going down, Rob, it doesn't actually affect everybody. But Democrats have a really hard time selling that.
Well, I mean, you saw in the Biden town hall when the guy who owns the restaurants got up and said, hey, I can't get anybody to work because you idiots in the government are paying people not to work. And now because of inflation, those two things together, I can't get anybody to work. And Biden just looks at him and goes, we'll just pay him more money. I mean, there's no answer to this issue.
I love him. Have I told you that they have the best fried chicken in the East Coast?
Yes, a few times.
I'm kidding.
It's okay. Even if you had to ask, you tell that story to quite a few people.
I'm kidding. Look, Democrats have shown for a very long time now that if they scare the bejesus out of people, they can get a lot of people to vote for them. That's what they're doing now, and it's working incredibly well. And they sell the fear. They sell fear to the black people that the white people are coming to lynch them. They sell fear to the people who are unemployed that somebody's going to come and make them go to work. They sell fear to students that we're going to make them actually pay their tuition bills. They sell fear, and it sells.
I got to be honest with you. I don't know how well it's selling. I'm looking. All we could look at is numbers, and I'm not even referring. And I spoke to you about this the other night, Ben. But Gary, 17 million people watched the opening night of the Olympics. That is down from 40. That's a 30-year. That is a 33-year low. To put that into perspective, watched the Gonzaga National Championship almost. Than watch the opening night of the Olympics.
Well,
it is down, I believe, from 40 million in 2016, Gary. So I don't think their messaging is selling. And yeah,
it's a different thing. I think Americans just don't like foreigners very much at this point. They know the foreigners are endlessly sponging off us and then criticizing us and taking it down to moral superiority. Well, why should we watch them?
No, I think it has to do with because this is the most woke Olympics of all time.
Well, you're right. You're absolutely right.
I think the American athletes turning on the flag, threatening not to.
Part of it is Americans, you're white Americans. I think at least some of them are just disgusted with the fact that these super successful African-American athletes are spitting on the flag or otherwise.
Or white athletes. There are quite a few white athletes.
Anyone who's spitting on the flag of the greatest country that's ever been is not going to be winning popularity contests.
So
I have an Olympics question for the group, a Patriot question. The Iranian basketball team is getting 40 points tonight against the U.S. men's basketball team. I think they can cover that. Am I a traitor to my country if I bet on Iran against the U.S.?
I don't understand that. How did they get such a good team?
No. What he's saying is the United States, who lost for the first time in God knows how many years, since what, 2006. They're favored over Iran by 40 points. So what Rob is asking is should he take Iran to cover that? And would that he feel like a traitor to his country? but Gary, I don't really think it's selling. I mean, it goes back to what Rob brought up. If we were to believe what we were told, remember, Trump still got 74 million votes, Gary. So I don't believe people are buying this horse shit, even though people are constantly selling it.
Well, one thing I want to respond to, Ben saying we're very prosperous right now. Well, yeah, a great part of the population is very prosperous on free benefits when a family of four can clear over $100,000 for doing shit. So, yeah, we are very prosperous. I just got in the wrong
line. How come I don't get any welfare? How come I don't get any welfare?
Sorry, Garrett.
I don't get any welfare.
Yeah, but on the Olympics and the sports side, I think there's two factors on there, because pro sports have become nothing but a bunch of spoiled, rotten, entitled brats. They are the softest group of pro athletes I've ever seen for baseball, basketball, and football. You know, I grew up with Randy White and the Cowboys and the purple people eaters, and you know, I grew up with people who would literally play with broken bones. And these guys won't go out there if they have a sneeze, they'll go away. And I think people are getting sick of athletes making ridiculous amounts of money, pro athletes, and Olympic athletes make a lot of money too.
I did. Wait a minute, back up. Now this shows how out of it I am. Judah, you follow sports way more than I do. Do Olympic athletes get paid?
Yeah, of course, sponsorship.
Yeah.
That's why the bigger the sport, the bigger the sponsorship deals. And you got to remember, Ben, it's more than just a sponsorship deal. If you're a huge athlete, this person, Simon Biles, is that how you pronounce her name?
Well, I thought this person was just
Simone. Biles.
I thought that she was just dropped out of the Olympics.
She did, but my point being is I'm sure she has over a few million Instagram followers. She's getting huge money to plug stuff on that. And she's getting huge sponsorship deals. Remember, Nike and all these companies are paying these people millions of dollars a year. So, Gary's right. They are making a boatload of money. Obviously, not the guy that is doing the crossbow. He's not the most high in demand athlete. But somebody just wrote, Naomi, and thank you very much for the compliment. This is one of my favorite quartets. Can listen to them forever. Thank you, Naomi. That is very sweet of you to say that.
What quartet is that?
How can we say?
It's
Rob.
And on that note, if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. I want to thank everybody that's been is in the YouTube chat and everybody that's been downloading the show. It really means a lot to us.
We
put a lot into this, so it means the world to us. So thank you. And on that note, I want to welcome everybody back to The World According to Ben Stein. We're joined by Rob Kendall from 93.1, BAM, WIBC, who's debating whether to take Iran in the 40 versus Team USA. Can I say something? Just out of anger towards these Olympics, I would almost side with Iran. But I'm rooting for
I don't mean to cut you off, but I was looking up like who's on the Iran basketball team, and the photo, you know, on every site they have a team photo or whatever, and the featured guy looks like he's like 60 years old. That is like the centerpiece of the Iranian.
That's not that old.
It's all I know is it's quite a few hyphenated names. And of course, we're joined by Gary Collins from The Simple Life Now. And interestingly enough, Ben, but there have been a few athletes, more than two, who have refused to participate and go against Israelis.
Which countries are these, please, sir?
Iran and probably somewhere in Iran and somewhere else. But a few of them, like in judo, they've refused to wrestle. I mean, you'd think that was the one place they'd want to kick the crap out of a Jew if you could. And it's legal. You could legally at that point be an anti-Semite.
Wow.
And they're abstaining.
Is Hunter Biden, Garrett, playing for the Chinese basketball team?
I'm sorry.
Is Hunter Biden, or Russia? Maybe even Iran. You never know. Hunter Biden, you know, he's multi-talented and skilled.
He entered the sport of painting. But I want to get back to this quickly, Ben, and because I don't think we could lose sight of this fact is I think of America. Are Americans going to shut off to this new mandate? Are Americans, or have they trained the people so well, Ben, that they're just going to go along for another round? I mean,
I had an amazing experience just now. I flew this morning. I awakened in San Juan, Idaho. Drove down the street to the freeway to get on my way to Spokane, and not one single soul wearing a mask. Got to Spokane, everybody was wearing a mask. Got to LAX, everybody was wearing a mask. Got to the streets of Beverly Hills, everybody was wearing a mask. What is that all about? Are you going to tell me that really and truly the air in Sandpoint has no germs? That's impossible.
But Rob, I want to get to you because I've been saying it and you could copy me. I don't mind. It is all to do with the elections. And I said this to Gary on the phone the other night. And I've been saying it here. But Rob, when are the next midterm elections? I hate to sound like an idiot.
Well, it's every 2 years, my dear.
No, I understand that. So it's still a year away from November.
Right.
So hopefully they're prematurely.
More than a year away, sir.
I said a year and a half. About a year and a half away. Rob, I agree with you. This has a lot to do with the elections, but I think it also has a lot to do with making people not realize about the chaos that I brought up that's absolutely going on.
Sure. They're invested in fear. It's fear porn. They need, whether it's race with the riots and stuff we saw last year, or the COVID stuff, or fill in the blank, it is, they need people to be pitted against each other and living in fear because they don't want to talk about their lack of progress on key issues in this country.
Well, and not, I think, if I may say so, the Democrat Party has more or less explicitly said, we are the party of the black man and woman. That's fine. They're allowed to do that. That's perfectly within the law. But not everyone wants America to be all about blackness. There's a large number of people who think, yes, okay, blacks are 14 or 15, should be percent of the population. Absolutely, they should get the attention they deserve by virtue of such numbers or by their accomplishments. But to have the whole country be about worshiping blackness, I don't know. I'm not sure everyone likes that.
You are correct. And I think going back to what I said, Gary, I think the Olympic numbers, sporting numbers have been down because I think the optics, as you said, with spoiled athletes. I mean, LeBron James, who is the biggest whiner and bitcher about the NBA and all this shit, is the first active NBA player to be worth over $1 billion. $1 billion.
What does he do with it?
Nothing for anyone else.
Nothing for the community. That's for sure. It's always OPM. And but Gary, I mean, I always get back to this thing with the fiduciary responsibility. Fiduciary responsibility. If 17 million people are watching the Olympics, they have to pay back advertisers.
Advertisers, a lot
of money. And it's like, if who's even playing the Olympics? NBC? NBC can't afford to keep, the industry can't keep affording to lose money in the name of virtue.
Well, they think they can. I mean, this goes to something that I have observed in my many, many decades here in Hollywood now, which is, as long as it is, to use your phrase again, other people's money, they'll be as virtuous as possible. If it was their money, no, they would not be throwing it around like this. But as long as it's other people's money, they'll be as virtuous as humanly possible. And as I say, there is some limit to the amount of worshiping of black people that the ordinary American wants to do. Yes, black people were horribly mistreated in America for a very long time, very long time. That's terrible. Thank God it has stopped. But worshiping? Has there been a new God made up, which is black athletes? Is that what the new religion of America is? Worshiping black athletes?
Well, look, let's go to Rob, who is a worshiper of athletes.
I watch golf, Judah. Does golfers count as athletes? I think another part of this, too, is you've seen a lack of prioritization from athletes like LeBron James, who, by the way, will not discuss his vaccination status for as woke as he normally is. He's oddly silent on that.
Or go against China.
You're right. Yeah. He once told Daryl Morey, who was the GM of the Rockets, who went to an Ivy League school, he wasn't educated. Now, LeBron has a high school diploma, but he's going to tell Daryl Morey he wasn't educated. So, yeah. But the point is, athletes are not prioritizing the Olympics either. We see guys like LeBron who decided not to go and play. Several other of the top basketball players deciding not to go and play. Several of the top golfers not going and playing. top tennis players. So it makes it hard to have buy-in from the rest of the country that you should be invested in this when they're not invested in it.
Very, very good. Very good.
That was perfectly said. And Gary, I mean, to the point that he just brought up, I just think it's bored. People are just so bored. If you turn on a sporting event and you have to listen to ESPN reporters or sideline reporters preaching to you, at a certain point, you're just like, Gary, it's just enough.
The sob stories too. I mean, I stopped watching most pro sports a couple years ago, if not longer. And I tried turning on the NFL briefly before a game, and the crying and the poor, you know, growing up in the hood story. I'm tired of it. He's not in the hood anymore. He's a multimillionaire playing a sport that I played for fun. All right. I don't want to hear it anymore. I'm tired of it. And it's story after story. And not only that, but I think the Olympics lost it for me is when they started letting pros participate.
I was going to say that, by the way,
was that it was all amateurs except for all the doped up Russians, Germans, and Chinese, which we already knew. And it was great to beat them all doped up on testosterone. I mean, the women looked like gladiators. Remember the German swim team? Some of the women literally had to shave. That's no joke. They were jacked up on so much testosterone and they were huge, and we would still beat them.
Now, wait a second, Gary. The original dream team was pretty badass, okay?
Yeah, but I
happen to agree. It's the Herb Brooks quote where he says, you know, they call them dream teams, but they take away your dreams, or something to that effect. Basically he was saying, and if somebody could please look up the direct quote, it would be great. But Ben, he was saying with all these athletes, and you know, the whole idea always was in sport was like, it's the Hoosier story. The tiny little high school could beat the massive big high school. And the idea, because we lost a few Olympics, and might I add, the reason why, and people don't like to talk about this, and I will say this, Ben, because you'd be interested in this, is reverse racism. The 1988 Olympic team, which was, I believe, coached by George Thompson. Who's it? George Thompson?
From John Thompson.
John Thompson.
From Georgetown.
Who did not take a few of the best white sharpshooters to the Olympic Games. And that was the reason why we lost those Olympics, was we could honestly say was because of reverse racism, and then head to 92 where the pros started playing, and it just it became boring for me. I stopped watching it. Of course we're going to win. Who needs to see it takes away, Ben. There's something about the love of the game, about being an amateur, and it's why I brought up Gonzaga. 17 million people watched it at the college, because it's amateurs, Ben, and people still, there's still a romanticism.
And Spokane is a town where people really believe in their teams. And I spend a lot of my time going to and through Spokane, and they're great people. And so I think they, as I say, they believe in their teams, even if they're not billionaires. Let's face facts. Sports has become a big, 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 big business. At a certain point, big business is not as interesting as sports. I mean, if we all wanted to just watch big business and watch large amounts of money changing hands, we could watch the ticker tape on the New York Stock Exchange every day.
And another point that you just made me think of, Ben, is that people in America forget that we're not the world. So while only 17 or, you know, maybe 6 or 7 million people watch the NBA championship, or 13 million, you have around the world, maybe hundreds of, so they've stopped caring about our own market and more about the foreign market, obviously, with sports, with, that's why athletes are so scared to offend China and all of these things. And it's almost like the people in our country, the producers, stopped caring about us as the product and realize the world is so much more important.
And
that's it.
Okay. Well, that's what I have to.
Yeah. And on that note, if you just.
just kidding. Look, we don't like the world much anymore. The world applauds when the Arab terrorists kill Jewish children. Even anti-Semites can't stomach that. So the world applauds when China murders or at least imprisons and starves millions of its own people. We don't like that that much. The world is not such a great moral place. I mean, people kept saying all during the 30s and even in the World War II, though surely the world will do something when it sees the atrocities that the Nazis are carrying out. They used to say about Stalin in the 30s, surely the world will do something when it sees the atrocities the Bolsheviks pull off. No, the world is just a bunch of whining babies.
And on that note, that's the name of tonight's show. The world is nothing but whining babies. And on that note, if you just tuned in, you are listening to The World According to That Man, Benjamin Jeremy Stein, fresh off the plane. I want to thank everybody in the chat. Obviously, I am reading it. And I want to thank Gary Collins from TheSimpleLifeNow.com. Remember to go download his podcast. It is an exceptionally good podcast. And of course, stream Rob's show every day from 9 to noon on number 93.1. WIBC, bam, Rob is the president of Conservative Talk Radio. And I want to welcome everybody back to The World According to Ben Stein. And the next topic of tonight is, of course, the Capitol Hill riots, where today the commission started, and the Capitol Hill riots, the insurrection, as they're calling it, as Adam Kissinger.
No, it's worse than that, of nuclear war.
Yeah, as Adam Kissinger is crying, the Republican.
Kinsinger.
Kinsinger, how, you know what? Adam Jackass, how about that? And him and Liz Cheney appointed by Nancy Pelosi. And you had this black cop say that many Trump supporters in unison, Ben, were screaming at him the N-word.
Yeah.
Without a scintilla of proof. Don't you think at this point we would have all heard about this day?
Of course there would. There were, every person there was running his or her phone and videotaping it all. Of course. What I find so interesting is this: the Capitol Hill police, incredibly well funded, astonishingly there in a superabundance, were inviting the demonstrators into the Capitol. There's video of them opening the door and gesturing them to come in. And yet they're saying they were outnumbered. They were the ones who were hammered. They were the innocent victims. Clearly the Capitol Hill police screwed up mightily. Now, God bless them. I love the police. I don't think anyone in the world is a bigger fan of the police than I am. But clearly the Capitol Hill police screwed up very badly. They can't take that. They can't admit they're wrong. So they blame the demonstrators. Of course, the demonstrators shouldn't have been there. Absolutely, without question. Demonstrators should have just come to the door and said, and the cops had come in, they should have said, no, 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 Nancy wouldn't like it, so we're not going to come in. But the Capitol Hill police screwed up fantastically, and so they can't take it, so they're blaming the demonstrators.
And Rob, so you have this cop up there today, and obviously, listen, let's be real. I mean, they're cops in the District of Columbia, okay? The odds are they're not in our camp, okay?
Some are.
I'm just saying, quite a few of them probably might not be. You know, it is a heavily Democrat district. But Rob, my bigger point being is that this guy makes accusations today. Nobody brings up Ashley Babbitt, who a cop actually killed. But he brings this up. And like Ben said, we have so many videos, so much that we haven't seen. Don't you think people would have been bringing this up this day? Like everything else they brought up about this day, everything else. I mean, we heard about a guy that had a stroke or a heart attack that didn't have a heart attack 4 months later. We've heard everything, Rob Kendall. We never heard this. This is breaking news today that Trump supporters in unison, like instead of kumbaya, they were screaming the N-word.
Well, but the whole thing's a farce. And so we covered this at length because Jim Banks is a congressman from Indiana. He's an Afghanistan war vet who was originally picked to be on the committee, him and Jim Jordan. And Nancy Pelosi, on multiple occasions, sent Jim Banks, or authorized the use of sending Jim Banks, to go fight and potentially die for his country. So she was willing to send Jim Banks to go fight and die for her ill-begotten wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, but he's not good enough to serve on a commission about what happened in the Capitol on January 6th. Give me a break.
Brilliant. She's a more than a joke, my dear friend. Horror show. And I will have to say, with respect, you can judge an awful lot about a person by looking at her face and you learn an awful lot about Mrs. Pelosi by looking at her face.
And they replace, and then they replace Jordan and Banks with Kissinger and Cheney. And Liz Cheney is one of the most awful people walking the face of the earth right now. And I'm not comparing her to dictators or anything like that, but I'm certainly saying someone who is invested in the failure of her country, she is right there. And that also tells you everything you need to know. And it also tells you everything you know about the Republican Party right now, because they put her in a position of leadership.
And they tried to get her out of it. But you're completely right. Gary, you being a former law enforcement official, you serving on details to extreme, in the highest form of government.
Did quite a few in D.C. I was at the WTO in Seattle when the National Guard was brought in. I've been around a lot of riots during the day, and I'm going to tell you right now that was, trust me, it was wrong. What they did was wrong. But these people are being punished severely, severely for their actions.
For basically trespassing.
Exactly. And yet we had, 500-600 known riots across the country that many lives were lost, millions of dollars of damage.
Cops shot
and nothing. Exactly. Zero.
This is okay. Now, my dear friend Gary, my dear friend Robert, my dear friend Judah, we are talking about a one-party Orwellian dictatorship at this point. That's a very scary set of words, and it scares me to say them, but I'm afraid it's true.
By the way, can you just remind me what you said about the word? What was it, the crying baby remark, just so I don't forget? Did everybody forget
I said the athletes are a bunch of whining babies.
Okay, that's perfect. Thank you. But Rob, getting back to it, both what Gary and Ben are saying, and it's like they're made every time you start an agreement, a disagreement, or something, and you say, well, you can't compare it to the riot. You know, you don't compare it to the rioting or looting, and don't compare it to this. It was an insurrection. Well, we're going to compare it. Okay. Yeah. And that was.
Yeah, but nobody's been charged with insurrection for something that was an insurrection. They got one guy on parading, whatever that is, but nobody's been charged. Apparently that's a crime. Parading. That the first person they got was parading. Gary probably knows more about it than I do, but nobody's been charged with insurrection. So my question remains, if you're near the Capitol and law enforcement is looking at you going, come on in.
Yeah.
Are you committing a crime?
Exactly. Yeah. Wouldn't that be considered from my meager law enforcement knowledge, just doing it for most of my life and teaching it, that would be called entrapment. Technically, invite someone in to commit a crime, that is entrapment. They would probably not have committed that crime unless you invited them inside. Didn't break in. Yeah.
I have not heard. Let's see the damage that they did. Let's see the stacks of destroyed furniture, the slashed portraiture, the smashed statuary. Let's see the damage that they did.
Okay, so, and it's more than that. So one of them is also claiming that they got tased repeatedly. Okay, so here's what we know about the world in America. We know the media will report any negative story, any, towards Trump or towards his supporters. You're going to tell me, Ben Stein, that since January 6th, none of these reporters who wanted to find scoop and crap that wasn't true didn't find any. What are these policemen not sharing out loud?
Exactly.
They just waited till July 27th to just get their story out. Like every single reporter from the Washington Post hasn't been hounding them to find out what's going on.
You know, something's desperately wrong. Where's the violence? Where's the damage?
Here's the thing, though. Here's something I want to say real quick. Even though it's wrong, calling someone the N-word is not a crime. It's not a crime. I hate to break it to people. He can bring up the race card all he wants.
Oh, that's a great point. That's a great point. No, but he brings up a great point, Bren. You bring up the race card when you're wrong. Yep. That's when you bring the race card up. Is when
well,
you
wait a second. I think maybe it is a crime. I think that in the District of Columbia, there's such a thing as hate speech. But what
well,
about
wait,
all
if
the,
that's true, then why can another black person call another black person the N-word? If that's the case,
that's right.
Equal Sorry, application Rob. Of the law. That's how it works.
Well, but yeah, we
don't have that though. We don't have that.
We all know what this is about, though, right? This is about trying to keep the focus on Donald Trump. And in the end, he will be blamed for all of this because the Democrats have nothing to offer in terms of messaging to the country for the midterms. They have no policies to lean on. They have nothing to showcase in terms of American greatness. So they have to keep people living in fear of going, well, these guys suck, but gosh darn it, that Trump was awful. That's what this is all about. This is how it's going to end.
No, he's completely right. And Ben, they think, and I don't know why this is, they think this is going to deflate Trump. They think this is going to deflate the Trump supporter. They think they really have this weird idea that Trump supporters aren't loyalists. And I think that they're missing the mark on this one, not realizing that there's more solidarity among the Trump base and among probably most of the Republican Party at this point.
That most of them, if not all, are very stupid. Miscalculation right there. They think they are truly ignorant morons. And that is their biggest, that's where they're screwing themselves big time, because people can see through their bullshit and they just think they're too stupid to see it. It's like, you gotta be kidding me, right? So every answer is, well, yeah, Trump, the economy was better. He did this. He did this. Oh, he got the vaccinations through in record time. Oh, but he's a racist.
That's the answer to everything. I mean, yes, he kept us out of war. Yes, he made incredible, unbelievable progress towards a real, meaningful Middle East peace. Yes, he actually tried to do something to level the playing field in terms of international trade. But he's a racist. And that's something that you can never disprove because, okay, he didn't say anything racist, but in his secret meetings that he had with the Ku Klux Klan, he said plenty of racist things.
Now, forget about the Ku Klux Klan with his Orthodox Jewish family. That's what Orthodox Jews discuss on Friday nights. Is how we are going to dominate the world. But Ben, no, I think it's so sinister that at the time they're claiming that COVID is rampant again, as it did in the beginning, right? What was going on during COVID in the beginning was the impeachment trial. Now we're having the third impeachment trial. So what's important? I mean, I really do believe Americans aren't this stupid to not see through this. I pray.
Well, we are seeing, well, some of us obviously are seeing through it, but the fact that the Democrats have no program, that is to me incredibly fascinating. The Democrats under FDR had a program. The Democrats under Harry Truman had a program. The Democrats under Lyndon Johnson had a program. There's no program under Biden. There is no program at all. What's going on? The only program they have is to spend a great, great deal of money that we don't have and push us towards national bankruptcy. Everyone says, oh, national bankruptcy, are you kidding? The countries, big, giant industrial countries have gone into bankruptcy. It could happen to America. That's the only direction I see us going in. It's really sad, but that's the direction I see us going. It's really, really sad.
You can open the door wide up, wide open, and get a bunch of new voters in.
Yeah, he's right. That's, that's what the stuff on the southern border is about, is a new generation of lifelong Democrat voters. But you know who the Democrats are? Has everybody here seen the movie Meet the Parents with Robert De Niro and Ben Stiller?
Yeah, of course.
Remember the Owen Wilson character who plays the ex-boyfriend? And no matter, he's just this perfect guy. He builds all these things. De Niro loves him. And so Ben Stiller has this complex about this dude. He knows deep down that the woman, the girlfriend, De Niro's daughter, loves him and is going to be with him. But he can't get off this complex with this guy. That's who the Democrats are with Trump. They're not focused on themselves. They're not focused on doing their own thing. They're the Ben Stiller character in Meet the Parents. And Donald Trump is the Owen Wilson character. They can't get off this guy.
Because
they don't have anything else. They have nothing else.
I thought you could have gone Brokeback Mountain and said they can't.
The Democrat Party has been out of meaningfully good ideas for a very long time now.
Okay.
Brilliant. AOC is a genius. She's come up with some really good stuff. I mean,
Absolute brilliance. On that note, if you just tuned in, you were listening to The World According to Ben Stein. I want to thank everybody that's been in the YouTube chat. Regardless of our talk on COVID, I pray that none of you get it. I pray if you do get it, that the symptoms are mildly. And I just pray. I mean, we're not taking these things lightly. We're just realizing that they in power have no idea what they're talking about. But on that note, we're joined tonight from the SimpleLifeNow.com founder, Gary Collins. And of course, from 93.1, BAM, the future of conservative talk radio, 93.1 WIBC. And of course, America's most humble servant, Benjamin Jeremy Stein. And there, I want to say it was Cuomo today that basically said, or one of these idiots that said,
Harry Cuomo.
Yeah. You know what? Might as well be, right? Harry Cuomo is probably great, you know.
Kidding.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, we got to push people in cars. We got to get them on trains to go get back. Whatever we got to do. And I'm thinking to myself, boy, do you realize what that sounds like? You want to get people in trains and cars to go get them vaccinated? And that's a really frightening thing. They keep on blaming this COVID outbreak, which they have no data for, on the people that are not vaccinated. And I am really starting to get worried, Ben, for the people that aren't vaccinated, because I will defend them to the day to the day they hopefully don't die.
Oh, they are going. Oh, yeah. They're already the enemy. Number one enemy of the people are those who did not get vaccinated, despite what we've learned, which is that it is not crystal clear. There's data, but it's not crystal clear that getting the vaccination will keep you from getting COVID. Yes, I frankly think everyone should get the vaccination. I got it. I hated it. It was really uncomfortable, but I think everyone should get it anyway. Why not be uncomfortable? Right? I am. So why shouldn't everyone else be too? So what I would like to know is this. Why is it that in a country where there are thousands upon thousands of colleges and universities, where there are millions of teachers, where there are tens of thousands of economists, why can't the Democrat Party come up with something other than blaming the unvaccinated as a program? Why can't they think of something constructive? Look, we have a country where roughly 14% of the population are non-white. They're African Americans. They are in almost every category, not every category, but almost every category, they lag behind white people. Why don't we have that be the national priority to figure out why that is and try to make it better? Why don't we have that be the priority instead of stigmatizing people who have not gotten a shot?
No, you raise a great point. They have absolutely no program. But Ben, it's more than stigmatizing. I am actually really nervous at this point for people that haven't gotten vaccinated and don't want to get vaccinated. People are starting to threaten them. They, Joy Behar believes, you know, that dimwit on The View who is okay with Tucker getting harassed, Rob, at the store and wherever he was.
Virginia,
saying he deserves it, but she comes on and says, basically threatens people that aren't vaccinated. Yet if somebody walked up to Joy Behar, oh, listen, Barbara Boxer got mugged on the street today. Boxer.
Wait a minute, I want to hear about that. She lives a house fairly near ours
In San Francisco. Oh, wow. Her cell phone, I believe, was stolen. She got mugged. And I'm not, who Kamala Harris replaced in 2000, I believe, 17 or 16. But Rob, getting back to it, you're one of those. I mean, and I hate to say it, they are going to name names at a certain point.
Oh, don't threaten me with a good time. I used to be an elected official. I've heard way worse. But okay, so here's a great example of this, though. The head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, who is a super woke guy who is fully vaccinated, tested positive for COVID. John Rahm, the best golfer in the world, tested positive for COVID a little over a month ago. He's been double vaccinated. He just had to pull out of the Olympics because he tested positive for COVID. There's serious, serious issues with this vaccine in terms
of
preventing
Here's another
problem. Why would the CDC mandate today that indoors, even if you've been vaccinated, you need to wear a mask? Just being a former investigator.
Yeah, I want to know that too. Why would that be? And also, I want to know what kind of people wear a mask outside in their car with the windows rolled up.
See, you guys are raising too much of a logical point and question. We want to know. We simply want to know, and we're not being given answers.
Judah, here's one thing.
You don't need to give you answers. Who are you?
That's exactly right.
What you need to realize is I'll bet they know the demographic and voting tendency of those non-vaccinated people. And I'm going to throw a guess out there which way they probably lean more towards. I'm just throwing that out there. And I think it's their way to intimidate those people to let them know, oh, we've got you. You will do what we say. I honestly think that's part of it. I have no doubt that they know who those people are and what their political leanings tend to be.
I think we better all move to North Idaho and hide.
Yeah, but you know, Gary, you say that, but there's been a ton of NFL players who have spoken out against this. And they are being bullied and intimidated. I saw one team's making them wear wristbands.
Yeah.
The Washington football team head coach lamenting that his players haven't been vaccinated. I mean, given the history of this country and I mean, that's just very, very weird and bizarre that people, a grown ass men, are making decisions about their personal health and you're like steamrolling them if it's not the decision you want. It's just weird. Well,
are you referring to the syphilis tests? Is that what you're hinting at?
Amongst others.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. What Robert is being too polite to point out is that there was a considerable period of time in this country in the 20th century when African-American men with syphilis in Alabama were not given the medicines that would have cured them. They were told they were being given the medicines and they weren't being given the medicines just because the government wanted to see how the disease worked itself out in their systems. So when it comes to the government being trusted to do the best thing for people's health, I think we some skepticism is merited.
You're completely right with the Black community, obviously, but also, you know, as Jews, the idea of saying, we are going to force you into cars. We are going to force you on trains. We are going to make you wear a badge. Those are not American ideas. They are just not. And Ben, I don't know. Thank God you've been around a long time and you've witnessed and you've experienced so much. Have you ever seen it like this? Have you ever seen it?
Yeah. I've seen a lot of nonsense and a lot of garbage. I've said many, many times, people always forget that in 72, George McGovern said that Nixon was worse than Hitler. So people forget things like that. But what I've not seen is such incredible ignorance on the part of A, high public officials, and B, incredibly important people in the media. And what I've really not seen is the media elevated to be a fourth branch of government, absolutely immune from any kind of control or punishment or discipline of any kind, and yet with unlimited powers. That is not in the Constitution, and I don't know how that happened, but it's got to stop somehow.
And so you're saying it's the worst it's ever been in that scenario?
In that scenario, in terms of creating a fourth branch of a super state that is not a subject to control by the Constitution, I don't think we've ever seen anything quite like it.
That's scary.
That is scary.
The only thing I can liken it to is that, I think I've talked about this and I'll talk about it again because it's really important to know. In the beginning phase of the Civil War, Lincoln, needed for sure to have the state of Maryland not secede, needed for sure to have the state of Kentucky not secede. He had the legislators of those states arrested and put in prison so they could not vote to secede. It was completely alien to the Constitution. There was no legal justification for it whatsoever, but he did it, and they did not secede, and they were crucial to the Union winning the Civil War. And, of course, we want the Union to win the Civil War. We don't want to continue to have slavery. But do we want to have the Constitution trod upon? Mr. Lincoln did it, got away with it. He's considered the greatest American president. Maybe he is. But there is a precedent for the Constitution simply being steamrolled by the president. And I think something like that is happening now. And I will say, let's get to Tom Barrack, a friend of mine, a great guy, Republican activist, very, very successful businessman, a super incredibly great guy, really, really great guy. Really, really great guy. He is being tortured, tormented, basically for nothing, for the most trivial possible offenses. He is being put in prison, given a $250 million bail, whereas people who commit murders and homicides are let out on their own recognizance. And he is being tortured and tormented and put in the scariest kinds of prisons. What his real crime is being a friend of President Trump and being a reliable conservative.
I didn't know Tom Barrack was put in jail.
He's out now, but he was in jail for several days. Yes, yes.
Oh my.
And this is true Gestapo tactics. This is a terror incorporated.
He was
right. One of the nicest guys that ever drew breath and a truly reliable, honest, wonderful American patriot.
And bailed out Trump quite a few times. It was one of him and I believe it was, who was the other one? It was Wilbur Ross. If it wasn't for the two of them, Carl Icahn, I should say. Trump would have been in a lot of trouble financially. And that's
Carl Icahn's a lot different from Tom Barrack.
No, I know. But I'm just saying two people that actually, Tom Barrack, I didn't even know that he was in jail for a couple of days. And Rob, what he's bringing up is actually just extremely frightening.
Well, where does one get $250 million for bail? These are the sort of friends that I need.
He has a lot. He has a great, great deal of money. That does not make it right or even legal for him to be tortured and tormented for something that is absolutely trivial.
What was it? He was on like the committee for...
He was on some Trump, pro-Trump committee.
Yeah.
And it is now being alleged that he was also friends with people from the United Arab Emirates. And his supporters say yes, so that he could work to get them into the Abraham Accords to try to broaden the peace, scope of peace in the Middle East. His persecutors and tormentors say no, he was getting bribed to do something. What it is never clear. What they're really going to try to get him on, of course, without question, is lying to the FBI. Because if you accuse people of lying to the FBI, even somebody as incredibly, unbelievably smart as Tom Barrack, they can find some way of persecuting him and hurting him. Now, Tom Barrack is strong. He's got unlimited wealth. I think he will be a very tough nut for them to crack. But why should he have to be cracked? He hasn't done anything wrong.
Here's the deal. If I ever need bailed out, I'm calling Ben Stein. If I need to disappear, I'm calling Gary Collins. You guys are going to be great. If I ever
totally broke. You can't call on me.
You could call him Larry Klayman, but you could call him Larry Klayman for anybody because he calls on us for everything. Larry would be a great guy to call if you ever get in trouble.
I hope I never need either one of you.
A lot of people are going to need counsel these days, Ben, or Gary, with the enforcement, with the about to be enforcement of the new mandates and the new vaccines. How many people are going to be in stores and say, arrest me? And some might actually get arrested.
I have been in the store. I've been in the pavilions right down the street from my house and had people come up to me and say, customers, not employees, say, where's your mask? And I say to them, go ahead, arrest me. They never do. I don't want them to, but that's the kind of dictatorship and informing on your neighbors that's happening nowadays.
Somebody wrote, if you need a date, don't call me. Thank you. Tom Barrack, as Ben said, he's guilt by Trump. That's exactly what it is. He's like he said, Ben, he's a really good, decent fellow that's done a lot of really great charitable work, tons of great stuff, you know. And that's always the ironic thing. I know we're running out of time, but Ben, Gary, all these people that go after people don't do shit for society. And these people that they're going after, like people like Tom Barrack, are actually like, you know, like people love to go after the Kushners, not realizing the Kushners have given so much money in charity. It's a joke. They've literally donated a school. So people that costs no tuition, yet people love to go off on these people. And everybody that goes off, and it's the LeBron thing you brought up, Gary, it says this guy's got so much money and he gives nothing.
How about Black Lives Matter?
Yeah.
They've raised so many millions, and as far as we know, have not done anything for any of these Black families that are supposedly being tortured at the hands of police.
Yeah.
Well, Gary, final words. Rob,
who's the Washington football team? I only know the Washington Redskins. I've never heard of this Washington football team. What is that?
They're about to be something else, too. Give it time.
Well, the Indians were named the Givers, right?
Was it the Givers?
Oh, God.
No, sorry. I'm such a jackass. I'm not. That wasn't a joke. They were Guardians. Named the Guardians. The Guardians. Yeah. I'm sorry. But that would have been funny if they would have been named the Givers. That was not meant. Anyways, we're politically correct, incorrect as is. But Rob, final thoughts and words.
It was an honor to be here with all of you again tonight. Ben is looking wonderful as always. And it's just a pleasure. Gary looks better than ever.
Yeah. And so does Ben. What do you mean? Before Ben gets to sing, before we close the show, I just wonder, somebody put it up there and they asked Herb Brooks, God rest his soul, one of the greatest hockey coaches of all time. And basically, after the Olympics, Ben, he had said a few years later, the U.S. began using professional athletes at the game, dream teams. I always found that term ironic because now that we have a dream team, we seldom get to ever dream. And we seldom ever get to dream. And I just, that was Herb Brooks, the 1980 U.S. hockey coach who the miracle on ice. And we need more miracles in sports. We need more wholesome stuff. I'm not trying to sound like I'm 90 or 100. We need more wholesome product, Ben Stein, that we're not getting. And the entertainment industry has lost its fiduciary responsibility to the public of giving us stuff that is of value to us. And until they start offering that again, they'll continue to lose ratings and viewers. And I want to thank everybody that's been watching and listening tonight. We hope we added a little bit to your life. You could find Gary Collins at simplelifenow.com. Of course, you could find Rob every day from 9 to noon at 93.1 WIBC. Bam, the president of Conservative Talk Radio. And you could stream his show every day and call in and say you heard about. If you call in Rob's show and say you heard about us from the World According to Ben Stein, you'll get a book. You'll get a beautiful book written by Ben Stein. And there are quite a few beautiful books. Ben's written amazing books about self-help and God and all that. And they're really brilliant. And of course you can find Ben at spectator.org. You could also find them often at Newsmax. We're trying to reapply ourselves to Parler. And on that note, I want to thank everybody for listening to The World According to Ben Stein. We will see you Thursday night. Take us out.
No, I know I've done this before. To know him is to love him. Just to see him smile makes my life worthwhile. To know him is to love him. And I do.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Tim, for giving me that during the stream, that info on Herb Brooks. Thank you. Have a great night, everybody.
Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night. Good night.